Brachos Daf Tes Vav. On the bottom of Yudal Amud Beis, picking up from yesterday, the Gemara went over the Nihog of Rav. Rav put on tefillin. The question of whether Rav put on tefillin before Shema or after Shema. The conclusion of the Gemara was that Rav put on tefillin before Shema. The Gemara said that saying Shema without tefillin is tantamount to saying Eidus Sheker. And picking up right from that point in time, at the very bottom of Yudal Amud Beis, Amar Rav Yochanan Harotzei Shekabal Alav Ol Malchus Shamayim Shleima. If a person wants to accept upon himself Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, the acceptance of the yoke of heaven, and he wants to do so in totality, so he should follow the following procedure, as we are now on the top of Tes Vav Amud Aleph. Yifneh, person should go to the bathroom, relieve himself, to make sure that he no longer has a need to go. V'yitol Yadav, wash his hand. V'yaniach Tefillin. Put tefillin on, v'ikar kriya shema v'ispalo, say kriya shema and daven, say shema nesrei, v'zui machus shamayim shlema, and this is a full acceptance of machus shamayim. Amar v'chia b'rabba, amar v'yochan, kol amnifne, v'no tel yado, v'niach tefillin, v'kar kriya shema v'ispalo. So Rabbi Chia b'rabba quotes the name of Yochanan, and anyone who goes through the procedure that we just mentioned, ma'ala alav akasav ki ilu bana mizbech v'hikriv alav karban. It's as if he built a mizbech and placed a carbon upon it. Dechsev the pasuk says, "Erchatz b'nikayon kapai ve'asoveva es mizbechacha Hashem." Pasuk in Tehillim says that a person will wash his hands in cleanliness, and then he's going to surround the mizbech. And the understanding is and put a carbon on top of the mizbech. Amalei ravelo sevel amar ki ilu tavel. Now, in terms of the amount of purity the person receives, the Rav says it's not that he just washes his hands, but ki'ilu, it's as if he toveled in the mikvah. Dechsev, the pasuk says, erchotz b'nikayon. The pasuk says that I'm going to wash nikayon in cleanliness. V'loksiv erchotz kapai. The pasuk does not say that I'm washing my hands. So he just generates a extra level of cleanliness that comes out from this pasuk. Amalei ravin l'rava chazi mar. And take a look at the young Talmud Chacham Da'asam Mimarav comes from Eretz Yisrael. V'amar Mishay Lo Ma'im L'Rchotz Yadav Mekaneach Yadav Ba'afar V'Tzorah V'Kismis. Person doesn't have water to wash his hands, and he would like to daven. So what he could do is he could wash his hands using either dirt or stones or some sort of wood chips. Amar Shapir Kamar. He says, very good. Mikziv Erchotz Ba'Mayim B'Nikayon. The pasuk does not say Erchotz Ba'Mayim B'Nikayon, but rather Kziv Kol Midi D'Manki. Anything that washes your hands would be acceptable. And anything that gets the dirt off the hands, it's a little bit strange that dirt is going to get dirt off the hands. But the understanding is that if you have something greasy on your hands, then you rub it in dirt. So that'll get the grease off your hands. Rav Chista light amanda mahadar maya be'idan tzlusa. Rav Chista would curse somebody who would be running after water at the time of davening, meaning when it's the time to daven and the person doesn't have any water and he's running around, and as a result of that, he's going to be missing davening. So under those circumstances, Rav Chista said that's not correct, that's not proper, and rather you should daven and either wash your hands with some alternative, like we just described, or just daven, so you don't miss the zman of shema, zman of davening. The Gemara then goes on, v'hani milu kriyashma. Now that's as far as kriyashma is concerned, about tefillah mahadir. But when it comes to davening, so then you should run after and look after water. We'll explain why in just a moment. I'll quote the Rashi in just a moment. The ad kama, and up until what point in time? Ad parsa. So that takes us up into a parsa. Parsa is 4 mil. So the amount of time that it takes to walk 4 mil, approximately 1 mil, 1 mil's time length is approximately 18 minutes. So 72 minutes in total. So that is the amount of time that one should be searching for water. And that's only when you're traveling, and it's 72 minutes ahead of you. But to backtrack and have to go backwards, because for every step you take back, that's another step you're going to have to take forward. So I feel a mil ain't a choser. So you don't have to even go back 1 mil. Uminam. Milhu deinu choser, apachos mi mil choser. Now, but that means that you don't have to go back 1 mil, but anything less than 1 mil, you have to be choser. Okay, so the Gemara just gave us parameters in terms of when is supposed to wash his hands for davening. The Gemara made a very interesting distinction when it comes to Kriya Shema versus davening. For Kriya Shema, so a person should not run around looking for water if he doesn't have one. Obviously, if there's water accessible, so you use the water to wash your hands. But if there's no water accessible, so then you don't run around looking for it. As opposed to davening, the Gemara says where there you must look around, run around, and look for water for davening. It's a really interesting distinction in the Gemara, and why should there be such a distinction? So to quote Rashi over here, a really interesting Rashi, fascinating Rashi. Rashi says, L'kriya Shema. Rashi, right, the last Rashi before the Mishnah. Be'idna de Kriya Shema, at the time of Kriya Shema, shizmana kavua. So Rashi writes that we know that for Kriya Shema, so it has a fixed time. We've been discussing that since the beginning of the Masechta. And so therefore, there is a time limit when it comes to Kriya Shema, Pen Yavur Azman. Aval Letfila, but Rashi continues, but when it comes to Shemoneh Esrei, Dechol Yom Zmana, its time is the entire day, Hu Tzarech Lemahader Amayim. So therefore, he's going to have to look after water because he has all day to daven. Now, obviously, the difficulty with Rashi over here is that we're going to learn later in the Masechta that when it comes to davening, there's also zmanim for tefillah. Not just zmanim for Kriya Shema, like we're learning here in the first parak and the second parak of the Masechta, but when we get to the fourth parak of the Masechta, so we're going to see there's zmanim for tefillah as well. So Rashi makes the comment that for tefillah, kol yom zmana, that the entire day you could daven. So it's a really interesting Rashi, and it goes against the Gemara that's coming up later on. So Tosfos makes his point, and there's much to discuss over here. But suffice to say that the Rashi is very interesting and certainly needs a lot more clarification and a lot more understanding. We're continuing in the Gemara. We're in the middle of Tezvav and Aleph. Akarei Shema. The mission over here is going to make four succinct points. One, Akarei Shema v'lo Yishmila Azno. So a person says the Shema but does not hear the words that is coming out of his mouth. So he is articulating. He is enunciating. He's just simply not adding any volume to that which he's saying. So Yatza. Under those circumstances, he's Yotze, he fulfilled his obligation. Rabbi Yossi Amar Lo Yotze, Rabbi Yossi says, no, that part and parcel of Shema is to be able to hear that which you're saying. And so therefore, if you do not have the ability to hear what you're saying, so you're not Yotze. Karvalo Diktik B'Yossi Yoseha, second halacha of the Mishnah. You read the Shema, but you weren't careful about how you enunciated and how you articulated each of the words. Rabbi Yossi Amar Yotze, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lo Yotze. So here we have a machlok between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's position is that one has not fulfilled his obligation. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. If you read the psukim but out of order, lo yatza. So here the Mishnah says very, very flatly, one has not fulfilled his obligation. The fourth point of the Mishnah, kar v'tar yachzor l'makom shetah, that if a person read and made a mistake and is not sure exactly where he is right now, so yachzor l'makom shetah, so he goes back to the place where he made a mistake. That point is going to be clarified better when we get to the Gemara. Gemara starts off the discussion, my time in the Rav Yossi. We're going back to the first machlokas of the Mishnah, and that is saying the Shema, but not audibly. Under those circumstances, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, whether one has fulfilled his obligation. Now, I say Rabbi Yehuda. If you look back at the Mishnah, you don't actually see the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So right now, for now, we'll call it the Tana Kama. My time in the Rav Yossi, Mishim Dechsiv Shema. So as far as the position of Rav Yossi is concerned, so his halacha is generated from the fact that the Torah says Shema. Shema means to hear. So that means that when you are saying the words, you have to say them audibly enough so that you're able to hear. And the Tanakhama is of the position that no, Shema is teaching us a different halacha, which is that you can say the Shema in any language. We spoke about this just the other day. So the Tanakhama's position is that Shema is already accounted for, and so therefore there is no other halacha to learn out from Shema. Rav Yossi tarti Shema mina, and Rav Yossi learns out both halachas, the halacha both of, you can say the Shema in any language, and the halacha that it has to be said audibly. Generally speaking, we don't learn out two halachas from the same pasuk, and from the same phrase. Over here, Rav Yossi is comfortable in doing so. It generally goes against the principle of not learning out two halachas, and certainly that also needs clarification in terms of how Rav Yossi can generate two halachas. Tanan Hasam. So with the upcoming Gemara from here until the next to the top of the next Amud, so the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time trying to precisely pinpoint the position of the Tanakhama. We know that according to Rav Yossi, if you do not hear the words coming out of your mouth, lo yassi, you haven't fulfilled your obligation, you must say Shema again. That's clear according to the position of Rav Yossi. Where exactly is the Tanakhama's viewpoint? Is he saying that inaudible Shema is perfectly acceptable, or is he saying that's only acceptable b'di'evid? And that's what the Gemara is going to be spending a lot of time now trying to pinpoint. Tanan Hasam, we start with a Mishnah. The Mishnah over here is in Trumos, Cheresh, Amadab, Reveno, Shomei. If you have somebody who is deaf, but has the ability to speak, so lo yitrum. So such an individual should not take off Truma. V'im tarim Trumas or Truma. But if he does take off Truma, so the Truma would be a valid Truma. Now, because he can speak, so the assumption is that he's not a classic Cheresh. A classic Cheresh in the Gemara is referred to as a deaf mute. A deaf mute, we generally assume, does not have Das, does not have intent, and does not have the basic cognitive ability to understand, and therefore the mitzvah that he performs is not going to be valid. So that's a general assumption. But over here, we're talking about a Cheresh Amadaber. So he has the ability to speak. So that ability to speak provides him the ability to communicate. And so therefore, we assume that he has his cognitive abilities. However, the Mishnah tells us in Truma that he is not allowed to take Truma, but if he does so, so it would work. So Bidi Evid would work. So Mantana Khersha Madaber Venishama Devin Lechatrilo. So who takes his position? So Amr of Chista Rav Yosihi. So it must be the position of Rav Yosi. Did not occur Ishma Velohishmilazno Yatso. Now we have in our Gemara the words Divir of Yehuda. Now you heard me slip up when I read the Mishnah, and I said this is the position of Rav Yehuda, but at this point in time we're still going to leave it anonymous. And so therefore the Bach takes out these words. It's just simple, we're simply calling it right now the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo yotze. So Rabbi Yossi says you're not yotze. So we already know this. We saw this back in the Mishnah that according to Rabbi Yossi, so the Shema that said has to be audible, and if it's not audible, it's not a good Shema. It's puzzle. And so at this point in time now, what we have is a curious Gemara, because the Gemara says that that Mishnah in Trumas is going like Rabbi Yossi. How? How can that Mishnah be going like Rabbi Yossi? Rav Yossi is of the position that Shema has to be heard. And so how is the Mishnah in alignment with Rav Yossi? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Ad kan lo kama Rav Yossi lo yatze ela gabi kriya Shema daraisa. So as far as Rav Yossi is concerned, so you're not Yotze Shema because that's a mitzvah daraisa. Aval truma mishum brachahu. Meaning, what exactly is the impediment of taking off Shema if you can't hear? And so now the Gemara explains that when the problem is that when you take off Truma, so you have to make a bracha. So mafish hafrashas Truma is a mitzvah, and with it comes a bracha. Like women who are mafish chala, so they make a bracha in doing so. So in general, when you mafish Truma, so there's a bracha to say. And so what the Gemara goes on to say is that the only problem with the cheresh hamadaber is that he can't hear, and therefore what is he not going to hear? He's not going to hear the bracha. What is a bracha? A bracha is a din derabanan. So the Gemara goes on to explain that Rav Yossi's position, that you're lo yatza, that you haven't fulfilled your obligation, that's by Shema, that's by daraisa. But when it comes to a bracha, which is only a din derabanan, so that's not going to be ma'akev, and therefore the truma would be a good truma. Lichatchila, he shouldn't take off the truma, but the evidence would work. Ubracha derabanan. V'lo bebracha talyam osa. And so therefore, the mitzvah is not really contingent on the bracha. Now, obviously, we'd prefer the bracha being said, and that's why lichatchila he shouldn't do it, but b'di'evit, he's yotze. Omi mai de Rav Yossi, the Gemara says, now how do I know? Yom Rav Yehuda hi. V'amar gabi kriyashma nami di'evit, in lichatchila lo. So the Gemara says, okay. Now, I understand the split between a deraisa versus a derabanan, but can't you just give a simple pshat? And can't you just simply say that the author of that Mishnah in Trumas is Rav Yehuda? And the way to understand it is that Rav Yehuda, the Mishnah, is clearly going d'yevin. And maybe Rav Yehuda would say by Shema also, it would be a b'di'evin. That lichatchila, somebody who cannot hear that which he's saying, is not going to be yotze, but b'di'evin will be yotze. Teida. The Gemara goes on to explain. Diktani akari d'yevin lichatchila lo. If you look carefully at the wording of the Mishnah says ha-kore. Kore means he read the Shema. That's post facto. So the simple pshat of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, which now we're identifying as Rav Yehuda, is that it's b'di'evit. Lechatchila, you can't do it, but b'di'evit, you can. And so now our Mishnah here in Brachos is in sync with the Mishnah in Shumos, and you could just simply say they're both going like Rav Yehuda. Amre, to that, they said, Hai diktani akore lo dicha kocha de Rav Yossi. To Amre di'evit nami lo. The Gemara goes on to explain, not necessarily. It's true the Mishnah says hakore. It's true that usually means b'di'evit. But what we could say is as follows. No, according to the Tanakhama, really, lechatchila works. Why does the Mishnah use the language of b'di'evit? Just to highlight the position of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi is a real hardliner. He's of the position that it doesn't work. Afilu b'di'evit. D'i Rav Yehuda afilu lechatchila namiyatza. And what we're suggesting now is that according to Rav Yehuda, it would work even lechatchila. Now, this Gemara, if we just think about it for a moment, is a little bit difficult because, generally speaking, if we want to highlight a position, and we're going to highlight either a more lenient position or a more stringent position. So which position do we normally like to highlight? So we say, koch de tera adif, that we normally like to highlight a lenient position. And we don't want to necessarily highlight a more strict position. Over here, the Gemara says that the only reason why the Mishnah uses the ambiguous language of hakore, which means b'di'evid, is just simply to highlight that according to Rav Yossi, it doesn't work, bichlal. And that's highlighting a chumr, not a kula. So you take a look at the Tosos lo dicha kocha de Rav Yossi. He's sensitive to this issue. He responds to this issue. We're going to continue the Gemara. B'mayu kimta k'Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says, so now the kimta over here is that our Mishnah is going like Rav Yossi. V'elahad etanya, so the Gemara says, okay, but we have other braises as well. Lo yivarach adam b'rachas mazam b'libo v'im b'irach yotza. So a person shouldn't say benching to himself, and if he does so, he's yotze. So we have a braise now that clearly articulates that by benching, so to say an inaudible benching, is okay b'di'avid, but not l'chatchila. Samani, lo Rabbi Yosef, lo Rabbi Yehuda. So the way we have now Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda aligned, it doesn't work. Di Rabbi Yehuda amar l'chatchila nami yatsa, because we're suggesting that according to Rabbi Yehuda works l'chatchila. And I Rabbi Yosef di'avid nami lo. And we're saying that according to Rabbi Yosef, it doesn't work afilu b'di'avid. So this middle position of Rabbi Yehuda is a really this position of the Mishnah benching. So we have no one to place it with. So Elamai Rabbi Yehuda Di'avid V'Di'avid in Lechatchila Lo. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to adjust Rabbi Yehuda. So we had before Rabbi Yehuda saying that the inaudible Shema works Afil Lechatchila. So the Gemara is now backtracking, and the Gemara is now saying no. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, it only works B'Di'avid. So the Gemara now brings out another Brisa, and the Brisa quotes in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, that the Cheresh who speaks but cannot hear, so he can take off Truma Lechatchila. So Mani lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbi Yosi. So the Gemara now points out, so now that we have Rabbi Yehuda only operating on a B'di'avid, and Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't work at all, so now we have this Brisa, and this Brisa doesn't align like anyone, not like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yossi. And at this point, the Gemara doesn't just want to simply say it's a third opinion, although I'll say parenthetically the Gemara will end up saying that, but to the best of our ability, we try to minimize the machlokas. So, E Rabbi Yehuda hamadi'avid in lechatchila lo, E Rabbi Yossi hamadi'avid nami lo. So the Gemara just simply articulated that it's not going like Rav Yehuda, it's not going like Rav Yossi. So Ela La'olam, Rav Yehuda v'afilu chatchila nami. So the Gemara goes back again. And the Gemara says, so here's what we're going to suggest now, that according to Rav Yehuda, the inaudible Shema works, and it works even lechatchila. And now this statement of Rav Yehuda that we just quoted in the name of Shema Mepasi is going to go like that Rav Yehuda. But there is a split between Rav Yehuda as espousing his own viewpoint, versus Rav Yehuda espousing his Rebbeim's viewpoint. Did not Rav Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Oh, so the Gemara now quotes a Braisa. Rav Yehuda, who here is now saying it in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Kari Shema, Tzarech Shiyashmila, as no, that if a person says the Shema, he should hear what he's saying. It has to be audible. Shenemer Shema Yisrael Shem Elkeinu Shem Echad. So Amalei Rav Meir, as Rav Meir says to Ma'arei Omer, Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Yom Al Levavecha. So on the Rav Meir says, but the Pasuk says it has to be on your heart. Achar kavanas halev hein hadvarim. And according to Rav Meir, as long as your heart knows what you're saying, even though your ears can't hear what you're saying, so that's going to work, and it would work even lechatchila. So what we have now in this brisa is Rav Yehuda espousing the viewpoint of Rav Elazar ben Azariah that it doesn't work lechatchila; it only works b'di'avid. And we have Rav Yehuda himself saying that it works lechatchila. So the Gemara says, good. So now that we learned this brisa, hashadasa sahachi afilotema Rav Yehuda, kira beisvirle. So the Gemara says the truth of the matter is now is that we don't have to create any kind of discrepancy between Rav Yehuda and his Rebbe, Rav Elazar ben Azariah. We could say that the two of them are in alignment, that it only works b'di'avid. Velokasha ha Rebbe Meir ha Rebbe Yehuda. The brisa that we quoted just lines earlier, that says that the cheresh hamadaber ve'eino shamea can be termed truma afilu chatchila. So now we could just put that on the side of Rebbe Meir. Since Rebbe Meir says that it works by shema afilu chatchila, so now it would work by truma afilu chatchila. Okay. So basically what we have in summation of the Gemara over here is that if a person says Shema, but it was inaudible, he mouthed the words, he articulated the words, but he just simply did not add any volume to the words, and he cannot hear which he said. So what we have in our Gemara is the range of three positions amongst the Tanaim. The position of Rav Meir is that it works afilu chatchila. The position of Rav Yehuda and his Rebbe, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, is that it only works b'di'avid. And the position of Rav Yossi that we saw back in the Mishnah, and we also saw the Brisa as well, is that it does not work afilu b'di'avid. The Gemara is basically going to go through a second round of this discussion. The truth of the matter is the upcoming Gemara is going to be great Chazar on that which we did, where our starting point over here is going to be a different Mishnah. It's going to be a Mishnah Megillah. But ostensibly, the Gemara's discussion over here is going to be a reiteration of that which we just said. Tanan Hasam, so here now we begin with a Mishnah in Megillah. Hakol Kshem L'Korsos Megillah, everyone is acceptable to read the Megillah, Chutz Mecher Shot V'Katan, with the notable exception of a deaf mute, somebody who is mentally deranged, or a minor. Rav Yehuda Machshir B'Katan, Rav Yehuda says that a katan is in fact allowed to read the Megillah. So Mantana Cheresh Di'avid Nami Lo. Now this position that a Cheresh cannot read it, Afilu B'Di'avid, which is certainly the point the Mishnah is making. I'm Rav Masna, Rav Yosihi. So who is it? That's Rav Yosi. That's Rav Yosi of our Mishnah. Did not a Karish Mavlo Yishmelaz? No. Yatzah Divrei Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosi Amar Lo Yatzah.
So our Mishnah says that by the Shema, here not Yotze. So the Gemara is assuming that the same thing is true regarding the Megillah. That Mishnah that tells us that by the Megillah, if you can't hear, you're not going to be Yotze. So that is going like the that's going like Rav Yossi. Let me make a one very, very good clarification. I described the Cheresh as a deaf mute. The Cheresh is not a deaf mute. And the Cheresh cannot be a deaf mute because we're talking about him reading the Megillah. So he is a medaber ve'enu shomea. So he's somebody who could speak but cannot hear. Important clarification. And now you understand how it aligns perfectly with that which we're saying regarding Shema. So mimai de Rav Yossi, he v'dievin amilo. The Gemara says, okay, but nah, you don't have to say that. So dilma Rabbi Yehuda yilachet chilahu dolam. So it could very well be that it really belongs, the Mishnah in Megillah really belongs to the position of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah is only telling us that you can't read the Megillah lechatchila if you can't hear it. So ha'diyavet shabidame, but b'diyavet it would work. Lo sakadacha diktani cheresh domi d'shoto. So the Gemara says, no, we wouldn't suggest such a pshat, because in the listing of people who are disqualified from reading the Megillah, so we had cheresh and we had shota, and we had a katan. So cheresh domi d'shoto v'katan, mashot v'katan diyavet nami lo. And now when it comes to a shota and a katan, so they cannot read the Megillah even b'diyavet. So av cheresh diyavet nami lo. And the same thing is going to be true regarding the cheresh as well. V'dilma hakadis v'hakadis. So the Gemara says, well, that's not necessarily true. It's true that the three are grouped together, but maybe the halachas slightly diverge one from the other. Omi masas luk meka Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says now, to suggest that Mishnah over there, Megillah is going like Rav Yehuda, v'hamid diktani sefer Rav Yehuda machshir b'katan. Because if you look at the end of the Mishnah says that Rav Yehuda is machshir by katan. So now that's very strange, because the Tanakhama, if we are saying that the Tanakhama is going like Rav Yehuda, so that means that the end of the Mishnah, when the Mishnah first introduces Rav Yehuda, so that creates an inconsistency in the Mishnah. If the original author of the Mishnah is Rav Yehuda, why would the Mishnah then at the end say, and Rav Yehuda says, so Mechalal de Reishalav, Rav Yehuda he. So it's a clear implication is that the beginning is not like Rav Yehuda. To which the Gemara says, V'dilma kula Rav Yehudi. It could very well be that the entirety of the Mishnah is in fact going like Rav Yehudi, Trei Gavne Katan, V'chasur Mechzer V'hachi Katani. And Katan can be divided into two categories, as we're about to explain. And so here's how we would read and understand the Mishnah in its totality. And really, the whole Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda. Hakok sherem lekrosos Megillah chutz mecherushot v'katan. Everybody is acceptable to read the Megillah, with exceptions to the cherushot v'katan. Ba'med devarim amurim, but limiting that because shelo yigil chinuch. That's talking about a very young minor, a minor who has not yet reached the age of chinuch. Rashi writes over here, chinuch is not an objective age; it's a range. For the reading of the Megillah, Rashi says, Ben Tesha, Ben Esser, 9 years of age, 10 years of age. So they are at the point now where they have some understanding of what they are doing. So any time before that, they are what's called an halacha akan shelo higel achinuch, meaning that there is no mitzvah of chinuch whatsoever. And so under these circumstances, this katan, this very young minor, can't read bechlal, afilu b'dieved. But once he arrives at the age of chinuch, so then not only can this katan can read, but the katan can read because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a katan would be acceptable. Okay, so this is how we would read the entire Mishnah over there in Megillah, and what comes out now is that the entire Mishnah is in fact going like Rabbi Yehuda, and we've also have identified that the inability to hear would be a disqualification, and we're saying that the entire Mishnah in fact goes like Rav Yehuda. But now that we've aligned the Mishnah to go like Rav Yehuda, so it's not possible b'di'evid, it is only lechatchila that one shouldn't do so. So the Gemara says, is that true? Ela hadni, and here we now go over and get to review the entire a discussion that we had in the Amud Aleph. Elahadni Rav Yehuda Berei, the Rabbi Shimon ben Pati Cheresh Amadaber Venu Shomei Torah Lechatchila. So the Braisa that quotes the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, that somebody who cannot hear can take off Truma and can do so even Lechatchila Mani La Rabbi Yehuda Velo Rabbi Yossi. So now there is no position that he is aligned with. E Rabbi Yehuda Di'evin Lechatchila Lo, because we just said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it only works b'di'evin, but not lechachila. E Rabbi Yossi di'evin nami lo. And according to Rabbi Yossi, it doesn't work at all. Elamai, Rabbi Yehuda v'afilu lechachila nami. So the Gemara now, again, is trying to say, well, maybe Rabbi Yehuda would allow, inaudible brachos to work on a lechatchila basis. Elahad the Gemara says, but that can't be because lo yivarech adam brachos amazon b'libavim berach yatzah. The brisa regarding benching, that it works b'di'evid, inaudible benching works b'di'evid, but not lechatchila. Mani lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbi Yosi. Now that we took Rabbi Yehuda and put him on the side of lechatchila, so this brisa belongs to nobody. E Rabbi Yehuda hamar afilu lechatchila nami. V'e Rabbi Yosi hamar afilu d'evid nami lo. So la olam Rabbi Yehuda hiv afilu lechatchila nami. The Gemara again goes over the suggestion that maybe Rav Yehuda himself says that lechatchila is okay, but his Rebbe, as we'll see in just a moment, Rav Elazar ben Azariah says that it doesn't work lechatchila. The Tanya Amar Rav Yehuda Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah Kori Shema Tzarech Shiashmila as no Shenem Shema Yisrael. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah says that one should be able to hear the Shema because the pasuk says Shema Yisrael. Amar the Rebbe Meir Harei Omer Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom Al Levavecha. Achar kavanas halev, hein hadvarim. And Rav Meir says, no, as long as you have kavanas halev, as long as you know what you're saying, even though you can't hear what you're saying, so that would be acceptable. So now, hashadasasach, afilotem Rav Yehuda karabe sverle. So the Gemara says what it said back on the Amud Aleph, is that really Rav Yehuda now is in agreement with his Rebbe, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Inaudible shema, inaudible brachos, inaudible benching, only works b'di'evid, but not lechatchila. And v'lokasha ha Rav Yehuda, Rebbe Meir. And the position that says that you can in fact have an inaudible bracha or benching works on a lichatchila basis, and that would be going like Rabbi Meir. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Shila, Halacha k'Rav Yehuda, Shum Amar Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The halacha follows like Rabbi Yehuda quoting the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which we now have said twice over, and that is that inaudible brachos, inaudible benching, inaudible shema works, but only b'di'evid, not lechatchila. The halacha k'Rav Yehuda, and in fact, the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda as well, which we now have learned is holding the same position. Now, why do I have to say both of those statements when they're both saying the same thing? Now, if I only said the halacha was like Rav Yehuda, so like the Gemara entertained two times so far in today's daf, so that means then that it would work even on a lechatchila basis, as we suggested. So kamash malan halacha k'Rav Yehuda shamar mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So that's why we also wanted to clarify and say the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, which means that it only works b'di'evid, and Rav Yehuda subscribes to that viewpoint. V'iyashmin halacha k'Rav Yehuda. And if we said that the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda shamar mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah hava min asarech ve'ein lo tekana. So I might have thought that at this point in time, yes, it's true, he needs to repeat it, but ein lo tekana. But you said it already, and therefore there is no remedy. Kamash malan halacha k'Rav Yehuda. So therefore, the halacha is that like Rav Yehuda, which is that even though it was not the optimum way to say it, but nevertheless, even though you said it that way, it would still be effective. It would still be good. I'm Rav Yosef Machlokas B'Kriyashma. The entire debate is revolves around Kriyashma V'Abashar Mitzvos. But when it comes to other mitzvos, and Rashi explains over here, mitzvos means other brachos. Devar Hakol Lo Yatza. Everyone's of the opinion that you're not Yotzei Dechsev Haskesu Shema Yisrael, because the pasuk says that you must hear. Meisvei, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Lo Yivarcha Adam Brachos Amazon B'Libo V'Yimbarach Yatza. So we saw this price now two times already today. Now a third time, and that is by benching, inaudible benching. B'Di'eva Yoyotzei. How can I make a suggestion that when it comes to the other brachos, you're not yotzei afilu b'di'evid? So Elaid Marhachid Marsa, the Gemara says, okay, clarification. Amar Rav Yosef Machlokas B'Kriyashma. The entire debate whether an inaudible Shema works, that's only when it comes to Shema, Dichsiv Shema Yisrael. Ava Bashar Mitzvos Divrakol Yatza. But when it comes to all other brachos, everyone's in agreement that you are yotzei v'aksiv haskes v'shema Yisrael. So the Gemara says, what are you going to do with haskes u'shema Yisrael? How will be divrei Torah? No, that's only as it relates to divrei Torah. Meaning, as far as the rest of Torah is concerned, meaning limud haTorah. So there, haskes u'shema Yisrael. So there, you have to hear. But when it comes to making other brachos, inaudible brachos would work b'di'evit. Karvalo dikdek ba'osiyosa. We're up to the next point of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah made four points, as we learned back on the Amud Aleph. And the second point of the Mishnah is somebody who reads but is not midaktik. It does not clearly articulate the words. The Gemara starts off the discussion. Karvalo dikdek ba'osiyosa. Amar Rav Tevi, Amar Rav Yoshi, Halacha kidivrei shnehem lahakel. The halacha follows like both of them, and that is to be mako. Meaning, as far as the halacha of being of not hearing the Shema that you're saying, so we are going to go like Rav Yehuda, who is mako. Now, lichatchila, one should hear the Shema, but b'di'evid you're yotze. And the halacha follows like Rabbi Yossi, in that if you're not medactic, if you're not careful about articulating every word,
nevertheless, you're going to be Yotze. But Amar of Tevi, Amar of Yoshi, my Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Shalosh Hena Lo Tisba Ana. Pasuk initially says that three things a person never will be satiated, or three items are never going to be satiated. Now, the Gemara over here is only going to be quoting two of the three items listed in the Pasuk and Mishle. Shaol, that's the grave, Otser Rechem.
Otser Rechem, the womb of a woman, V'chi Ma'inyan Shaol Eitzol Rechem. Now, what does the grave have anything to do with a woman's womb? Ela lo melcha, to teach you the following, ma rechem maknas amotzi, just like a rechem, where the zera goes into a woman's womb and the baby comes out of a woman's womb, af sheol. Same thing is true with the grave, maknis, the body goes into the grave, umotzi, and the body eventually will come out of the grave. And obviously, the Gemara is making a reference over here to tchias hamesim, ba'halo dvarim kal v'chomer. The Gemara goes on. This is a logical argument, and it's a strong one. Ma rechem shemachnisim bo bechashai, motzim mimenu bekolikolos. So when the womb takes in, so it does so quietly. And meanwhile, when the baby comes out, the baby will come out with a lot of kolos, a lot of voices. Now the baby itself is screaming, but the Gemara over here is referring to the simcha, the joy that comes out, the joy that surrounds the baby coming out. Now, when it comes to the person who is buried into the ground, so the person is buried into the ground with kolikolos, people are crying. So, eino din shemotzim imenu bekolikolos. So, when extracted from the grave, so there will be a lot of excitement and a lot of joy at the time of tchias hamesim. Mikan, the Gemara says from here, tshuva l'ormim ein tchias hamesim min haTorah. So, this is a response to those who say that there is no tchias hamesim mentioned in the Torah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses this extensively, how there is no clear-cut reference in the Torah, but at the same time, the Torah makes many allusions. At the beginning of the 11th Perek of Sanhedrin, the Gemara enumerates all the various allusions of Tchias HaMesim in the Torah, and this is one of them, this reference here from the Pasuk in Mishlei. Tani Rabboshia teaches the following comment to Rava in front of Rava. Uchsavtem ha-kobichsav ve'afil ksavos. When you are writing tefillin and mezuzahs, and you're copying over the parsha, you must copy over the entire parsha, and even the parts of the parsha that are instructional. Meaning the Torah says, uchsav temen, you're going to write. So one could imagine that what is meant over here is that this is an instruction, but not something that you're actually writing. This is just simply the instruction to write. And meanwhile, uchsav tem is coming to teach us that no, that this is part of the ksav, this is part of that which you write. So Hakol b'ksav, afilu ksavos, even the instructions. Amar lei, amar lachmani. Now, whose position is this? Rav Yehudi. So this is the opinion of Rav Yehuda, damar legabi sota. Now, regarding sota, so the parsha of sota is written down and then placed into the water. But which part of the parsha is written down? Ha'alos, only the curses, kosev, tsevaos, eno kosev. So of the part of the parsha which actually deals with the curse itself, yitain Hashem osach, la'ala ulishvua. So that part is going to be written, but the instructions, that part is not going to be written. Meaning, when the Torah says, Vihi Shbia Usaha Kohen, that the Kohen makes her make an oath, so that part's not written, Eino Kosef. And so, Vahasim Hu Dechsiva Chasefes Alos Eila. Now, over there, the Torah says, you're writing down the Alos. Avahachu Dechsiva Chasefetam, Afilu Tzavaos Nami. So the clear distinction the Gemara makes is that there, by the Sota, it says you're writing the Alos, which means only the alos over here. It says uchsav tam, and that means the totality, even the instructions as well. The Gemara asks, atu taima de Reb Yehuda mishim dechsiv ha-chasav, taima de Reb Yehuda mishim dechsiv ha-alos, alos in tzvah slos. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. What exactly is generating this halacha? Is it by virtue of the fact that the pasuk says v'chasav? Isn't it by virtue of the fact that the Torah says you're writing only the alos, which means only the curse, but not the actual instruction? So it's Itzurich, the Gemara says, actually, both drushes are necessary. Sakadat Chemina, because one could have thought, Nalev, what we should do is learn out. Ksiva, Ksiva, Mahasam, we should learn out. Egzera Shava, from the Parsha of Shema, Mahasam, Alos in Tziva Oslo. Sorry, the Gemara wanted to go in the Egzera Shava in the other direction. That when it comes to Sota, so only the Alos and not the Tzvos, the curses and not the instruction of Hachanami, also by Tfilin and Mezuzos, Tziva Oslo. So I would have thought, therefore, based on the Gzeirah Shavah, that you're only writing down the part that was meant to be written down, but not the instruction, not meaning that the Pasuk of Uchsav Tam.
So Kazarachmanu Chsav Tam Afilu Tzvaos, and that's why the Torah has to go out of its way to say Chsav Tam, and that would include the Tzvaos as well, even the instructions as well. So for Tefillah and Mezuzos, you're writing down the whole Parsha, even the part of the Parsha that is really the instruction to write it down. Masha'en came when it comes to the Sota, at least according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, you're only writing down the curses, but not the actual instructions of what is to be done. Tani Rav Avadja come into Rav. The Gemara teaches us the following in front of Rava. Vilimadetem shehei limudach tam. So when you are saying over the parsha of Shema, so it should be complete, and that means to say sheitein revach min advekim. You should put a place, a space between those words that are stuck together. Now, what does the Gemara mean about those words that are stuck together? Ani Rava Basre, so Rava goes on to explain. Kigon, I'll give you numerous examples in the Parsha of Shema, in the Parshios of Shema. So the Pasuk says, Al Levavecha. Now, if you don't put a break between the word Al and Levavecha, because the Al ends with a Lamed, Levavecha starts with a Lamed, so you can easily meld the word into the two words into one, and just simply say, Al Levavecha. So by putting a significant pause between the Al and Levavecha, so you are clearly demarcating that these are two different words. And the Gemara gives a host of other examples. Al Levavchem, B'chol Levavecha, B'chol Levavchem, Esev B'sadacha, Ve'avaretem Mehira, Hakanaf Pesil, Eschem Mei Eretz. So numerous examples that are given speak to this idea that when I have the words, and when I have the words sharing the same letter at one on the back and one on the front, so therefore a hard pause needs to be put in order to articulate and make sure that you separate these words. Anyone who says the Shema and is careful about the words that is pronounced and the letters that are pronounced, so for him, Gehenim is going to be cooled down. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, Befares Shaddai Melachim Ba, Tashleg Bisamon. And the Gemara now goes on and darshans the pasuk, Al Tikra Befaresh. So don't read the word as spreading something out, Ella Befaresh. But rather, we're talking about where you articulate. Al Tikra Bisamon, and don't read it as Samon, but El Samavis, but read it rather as Samavis, a reference to Gehenim. Let's quickly recap the daf. Starting at the beginning, on the bottom of Yudalet Amud Beis, the Gemara there went over the halachas of being makabel machush o machush amayim, going through the procedure of going to the bathroom, washing your hands, putting on tefillin, saying the Kriya Shema, and davening Shmone Esrei. That is kabbalas o machush amayim. How significant is water? The Gemara discusses whether you could use a substitute for water, whether a distinction can be made between Shema and Shmona Esrei when it comes to the necessity of water. A very interesting Rashi that we saw in the beginning of the daf today regarding that by Shema there is a deadline, there's a timeline, but by Shmona Esrei there isn't. Very curious Rashi. We went through the Mishnah going over the four halachas. One, that the Shema has to be audible. Two, that you have to be medactic ba'osioseha. Three, being koril mafreya. And four, making a mistake in the Shema. We dealt with the first two halachas of that Mishnah so far in today's daf. In terms of the audible Shema, so we learned together that b'di'evid your yotze if the Shema was inaudible. L'chatchila, the Shema should be audible, but b'di'evid your yotze if it was in, or even if it was inaudible. And the Gemara went through a lot on this topic because there are three shittas amongst the Tanaim. Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yossi. Rav Meir says lechatchila it works. Rav Yehuda, which is our Mishnah, says that b'di'evid, only b'di'evid it works. And according to Rav Yossi, it doesn't work afilu b'di'evid. The Gemara sides with the middle position of Rav Yehuda that it would work, but only b'di'evid. The Gemara from there tells us that regarding dikduk osi oseha, so the halacha, in fact, follows like Rav Yossi, who's mekel, and that you don't have to be medaktik b'osi oseha, but the Gemara then motivates us to say every letter carefully, even though b'di'evid, you're yotze. The Gemara gave us a drasha regarding tchias ha-mesim, based on the pasuk and Mishle, how the pasuk puts together the womb and the grave, and just like the womb, it's going to exit. There's going to be an exit from the womb. Same thing with the grave. There's going to be an exit from the grave as well. And the Gemara finished up with dikduk osi oseha, how important it is to articulate every word, and even when I have words that are together that are sharing a letter at the back and front end of the two words, so one should put a pause in between in order to make sure that there's clear articulation of the letters.
Adkan.